Hi
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You're the first.
Okay. Brandula.
Good evening.
Hello.
Please join me in saying the Anabakar.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. Anabekoa Gedula Chimincha Tati Zerila Alephikimo Yitat Sadi Kabel Rimat Amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufreshayim sintet nun nagibor dorshe yehudcha kivavat shamwen nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin Barhem Taharem Rakame Sikatha Tamid Gamlen Petet Resh Tzadikaf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adatach Et Kufbet Yahid Lamcha Pene Zofre Kedushata Yud Gimelamet Pezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufal Zadi Yitzhak. We're now going to connect to, well, we brought the energy of creation into our space. We will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Zechanun Erech Apaim Virav Chesed Be'emet Notzer Chesed La'alachim Noseyawun Wafesha Bechata'a V'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing the Zohar from Sulam commentary from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudsha b'ruchu rishkin te'bib hilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud hei bovad hei b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu alei memaasei yadeinu kenenei alei memaasei yadeinu kenenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tanenan Tekut Shabarichu Koma Diaved Leila Wetata Kolaihu kishot biovada dikshot Veleid lach mila bialma Divae barnash Vedach yaleya Mineya ulan haga Beya kalana Vehakuhu ovada Big shot inun wikola itzderich bi alma. We'll now connect to the energy of this year, 5778. The energy of this year is bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, vayichal vayavo hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon el hamelech tavo natamar achoti udlabev le'eine shetei levivot le'evre miyada. The next verse that connects to this energy of 5778 is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Chatati odiacha. We awoni lo kisiti amarti ode ale peshai la adonai yo ewahe we ata nasata awon chatati sela. The year 5777 also has two verses to study to connect to its energy of the energy of the goat, but also a wake-up call. Study is Lamentations chapter 3 verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyevai finam. When we take the first letters, we're able to create Satsuki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua, chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. Excuse me. Yeah, no, Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yo Hei Wahei Elohechem tadevaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 has the energy of the pause. The first verse that we study, there are also two verses. The first verse we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 34. Raka kohanim hayulimat velo yachlu lahavshit et kol haolot vayahaskum achechem halavim ad kelo tamlacha Yad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halivim yishrei levav, lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewai, lalahei, wa wa wa. Yola yo al la me hey 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 ata pretaha. The second verse that connects to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Sur Olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next, we will study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol ha-machavoyiyam asher yichabe sham moshavtem elai el nachon v'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipaski oto v'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. The year 5774 is the energy of peace in the Middle East. The verse, there's only one verse, and that is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom Amili Israel Untati Vishakan Taktal Velo Yergaz Od Velo Yosifu Vene Avla La Anoto Kaasher Barishona. We'll now connect to the 72 names of God. We do this by saying the name of the letter out loud using its root vowel. Wahe wayo layo sayo te alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta heza yo alada la awa he hea yo zala me behe. Hey reyo, hey kome, la awa kala yo, la wawa pe he la, mula ha yo yo yo, me la hey, hey hey wa, muta hey, hey yo re ta shi a he, reyo yo, awa me, la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he ta wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me. Nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he re he he me tsa re. Wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo. Ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo me wa me. We'll now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. And we will prescribe it in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me. Me be shi la yo hey anu a ka me ta. Hey, hey, yo, anu da, la, hey, wa, hey, me, ah. Yo, salam, hey, me, hey, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me. Wa, wa, ka, be, yo, la, yo, wa, pe, nu, la. Nu, me, ka, yo, hey, yo, me, nu, hey, 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 wa. Nu, yo, hey, hey, she, ah, yo, re, ta, she, ah, hey. Re la yo awa me la yo be we wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. He she he me ka ka wa wa la yo yo he. Sa a la a re yo. A la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo. He yo she a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta. Me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la. Pe be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he. A la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko. A la a he he wa. Re, re, la, he, yo, yo, me, he, la, yo, me, he, me. The Tzaddikim who left on this date, the Hilulah for the Tzaddikim. Tonight and tomorrow is the 15th day of Sivan. It's the night of the full moon. The full moon in the modern Hebrew astrology is in the sign of Scorpio, not as in Sagittarius, like most other people are saying. The Tzaddikim, Yehuda ben Yaakov Avinu, the progenitor of the tribe of Yehuda, the original Jewish man. Rabbi Yedidya Raphael Chai Abulafia, and Rabbi Shlomo Shekalo. In the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa, we say in a whisper. Tonight's class can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's on row 14. It's the second column from the left. It opens up to a landing page. And when you see that landing page, please scroll down to where it talks about the writings of the Ari from the Parasha of Pechukotai. The handout is titled Sexuality and the Suspicious Spirit. This is a teachings from the Kitvei Ari, the writings of the Ari. They're not really his writings, they're teachings by Rabbi Chaim Vital based on the teachings of the Ari. Kabbalah exposes the spiritual roots of righteous sexuality. I am adding, the term righteous sexuality is not yet defined. I caution the student to not have the consciousness that he or she understands this term and remains open to learn its definition. In the Torah, this Torah portion of Baha'alotcha, Hashem gives the laws of the suspected adulteress, called in Hebrew the Sota. And the passage begins. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, this is what should be done. Should any man's wife stray and be unfaithful to him, and a man lie with her carnally, unbeknownst to her husband, and she was secluded and defiled, but there was no witness against her, and she was not seized. If a spirit of jealousy had come upon the husband, and he had warned his wife, and she was defiled, or a spirit of jealousy had come upon him, and he had warned his wife, and she was not defiled, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest, and bring her offering for her, one-tenth of an ephah of barley flour. He shall neither pour oil over it, nor put frankincense on it, for it is a grain offering of jealousies, a grain offering of remembrance, recalling iniquity. The priest shall bring her forth and present her before Hashem. The priest shall put holy water in an earthen vessel. And the priest shall take some earth from the tabernacle floor and put it into the water. And there is more. He may proceed with the ritual if he is sure that his motivations are pure. The word translated above as jealousy is kinah, and the one translated as had warned is kine. They are both from the same root. Thus, a more literal translation of the phrase in which these words occur would be, if a spirit of jealousy had come upon him and he had expressed his jealousy to his wife by warning her not to be secluded with the other man. Our sages said, a man only warns his wife if the spirit of purity enters into him from heaven. I'm having a little bit of trouble with the scrolling, but there it's working again. This is based on the idiom, a spirit of jealousy had come upon him. I am adding, as the reader reads the above statements, it is recommended to contemplate the relationship between jealousy and purity. It is considered commendable for a man to warn his wife not to be secluded with another man if he senses that she is becoming overly frivolous or flirtatious. The feminine principle of reality can lose track of its purpose and misdirect its feminine principle of reality and misdirect its energies in the course of going about the business of expressing divinity in the world. And it is the male principle's role to re-inspire her with the purity of intention his abstract orientation provides. The sages disapprove of a husband who is uninterested in the moral purity of his family, beginning with his wife. To be sure, A husband can delude himself into thinking an taking an overbearing manner or unreasonable suspicion is a spirit of purity. There is therefore an opinion in the Talmud that the spirit that enters into the husband, causing him to warn his wife, is in fact the spirit of impurity. The sages therefore advise husbands to assume their wives are innocent of any wrongdoing unless they have clear justification to suspect otherwise. Even if the husband is convinced that there is cause for concern, he must first appeal to his wife privately to improve her behavior. If this does not work, he may proceed with the ritual if he is sure that his motivations are pure. He may not invoke the rite in jest, in anger, or in order to frighten her. Furthermore, scrolling problems. Furthermore, the rite only works if the husband himself is not guilty of adultery. The Arizal now discusses what this spirit of jealousy is in mystical terms. Know that Joseph manifested the Sephirah of Yesod, and that his numerical value is the same as that of Zion, 156, which signifies the Yesod of Malchut, the feminine, while Joseph manifests the Yesod of the male principle, which enters this Zion. Problem with scrolling tonight. I apologize. I am adding, Kabbalah teaches that the same Sephirah communicates with its namesake Sephirot in and from different frames of reference. Thus, Zion, the Yesod in the female frame, communicates with Joseph, the Yesod in the male frame. This communication is closer when the regular gematria is the same. Joseph is associated with Yesod because he exhibited sexual purity in the incident with Potiphar's wife, and Yesod is associated anatomically with the male sexual organ. Joseph in Hebrew is spelled Yud Vav Samach Pei, which gematria is 10 plus 6 plus 60 plus 80, or a total of 156. Zion in Hebrew is spelled Tzadik, Yud Vav Nun, which is 90 plus 10 plus 6 plus 50, which is also 156. Zion therefore specifically refers to the womb of the world. The word for Zion means point, sign, or designation. It is also an appellation for the Holy Land, the location designated for the revelation of Hashem's presence. Specifically, Zion refers to the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, of the Holy Temple. We have seen previously how the Holy of Holies is considered the bridal chamber, where the marital union of Hashem and the Jewish people take place. Zion therefore specifically refers to the female sexual organ, or the womb of the world, where reality is impregnated with divine consciousness, and from which new divine consciousness is born and spreads throughout the world. 156 is also three times the numerical value of the name of 52, Ben, Bet Nun, that are given from the Yesod of Zeranpin to the Yesod of the Nukva. This is why the numerical value of both Joseph and Zion is three times 52, or 156, as is mentioned in connection with our exposition on Psalm 25. As an unwritten commentary, when we did Psalm 25, I was not aware of this connection. And so at some point I will make that addition to our handout for Psalm 25. So Psalm 25, which begins, "Unto you, Hashem, I lift up my soul." As is explained there, these 352 names are manifestations of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Psalm 25 is recited in the daily liturgy as part of the Tachanun, the penitential prayers recited after the climax of the prayers, the standing prayer, the Amidah. After achieving total self-effacement and union with Hashem in the standing prayer, we become acutely aware of our shortcomings, and for these we ask forgiveness in the Tachanun ritual. I am adding, the Kabbalists only say this Tachanun ritual on days that there is no Tzadikim Hilulot. The rationale for this change from Orthodox halakha is the understanding revealed in the Zohar that each tzaddik provides access to all living beings to the light, each tzaddik revealed during their lifetime. This light provides protection that makes Tachanun unnecessary to recite. Psalm 25 expresses remorse for sin and redirection. To Hashem, we rededicate ourselves mystically by elevating our consciousness out of the world of Asiyah and up through the three worlds into the world of Atzilut. By doing this, we arouse Hashem to forgive us. Thus, the elevation of consciousness through these three worlds creates these three forms of arousal, signified by the 352 gematria names mentioned here. The three worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya correlate to the three aspects of the soul, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, which manifest the three garments of the soul, the intellect, the emotion, and the actions, respectively. Significantly, the sin mentioned explicitly in Psalm 25 is in the verse, "Recall not the sins and transgressions of my youth," referring to sexual sins. Thus, the psalm we recite in order to arouse Hashem to restore our sexual purity is connected with the theme of sexual purity that is alluded to in the names of Joseph and Zion. The fact that the numeral value of Joseph is 156 alludes also to the following mystical principle that I have taught you. When righteous people pass away, their souls ascend and enter Malchut. There are five states of Chesed and five states of Givurah that descend from Ima into Zeranpin, which are manifest as 10 names of Havaya. The five states of Givurah descend into Malchut of Zeranpin, while the five states of Chesed descend into the five sub-Sephirot, from Chesed to Hod. All these five issue to the Nukva via Yesod of Zeranpin. Yesod, however, has its own name, Havaya. Thus, there are in Yesod five names, Havayas, manifesting the five states of Chesed that enters there on Pin, and one of its own giving six. Their combined numerical value is thus 156. The numerical value of the name Havaya is 26, and 6 times 26 is 156. 156 is also the numerical value of the word for jealousy. In Hebrew is kinah. Kinah is spelled kuf nun aleph he, which is 100 plus 50 plus 1 plus 5, totaling 156. Hence, we have a direct connection between the Sephirah of Yesod, sexuality, and the idea of righteous jealousy. And this explains what is written in the Zohar about Yesod. Then a righteous one dons jealousy. This passage of the Zohar describes what happens when righteous people pass away. Their souls ascend and enter Malchut, which adorns itself with the sparks of holiness these souls have elevated in their lifetime, and they brought with them when their soul elevates out of the physical world. Yesod, seeing how beautiful Malchut has become by adorning itself with these good deeds, is aroused to couple with it. I am adding, does this sound like the jewels built on the night of Shavuot? The term the Zohar uses for Yesod in this context is a righteous one, a tzaddik. Righteousness is particularly associated with Yesod because the main test of righteousness is in sexual behavior. Thus, Joseph, the archetype of sexual purity, is traditionally called Yosef HaSadiq, Joseph the righteous. The term the Zohar uses to describe Yosef's arousal to couple with Malchut is donning jealousy. Jealousy is typically experienced physiologically by increased adrenaline flow and body heat, similar to sexual arousal. Until now, we have seen that the jealousy of Yesod is its intense insistence on purity in sexual behavior. Beyond this, there is a deeper connection alluded to here between jealousy and sexuality. Let us note first that in English, jealousy implies zealousness. And in fact, zealous could be a better translation of the root kina than jealous. I am adding, it will be worthwhile to define these terms since words in Kabbalah are important and these two words are mutually confusing. I am adding, jealousy is the state of feeling or being jealous. And then I'm saying, can you believe this is a dictionary definition? Jealous is a resentment against a rival, a person enjoying success or advantage or some other aspect that the person desires. This is jealousy. Or against another's success or advantage itself. A second meaning, mental uneasiness from suspicion or fear of rivalry, unfaithfulness, etc., as in love or aims, but also anxiety about performing, anxiety about achieving a goal. The third reason, vigilance in maintaining or guarding something. Synonyms that are used, envy, covetousness, resentment, resentfulness, bitterness, and spite. This list is not complete. There are other words as well. I'm continuing to add, zealousness is defined as full of, characterized by, or due to zeal, ardently active, devoted, or diligent. Synonyms are enthusiastic, eager, fervid, fervent, intense, passionate, and warm. And again, the list is not complete. Holy sexuality is an expression of a person's passion for transmitting his personal vision of divine reality to the world. We have defined the experience of Yesod as the drive for self-actualization and for the promulgation of the insight of divine consciousness to which one has been privy. In this light, holy sexuality is an expression of a person's passion for transmitting his personal vision of divine reality to the world, either in the form of children that will be imbued with his values or metaphysical divine energy that will have a positive influence on reality, which we are taught is one result of marital relations conducted with love and proper intentions. Thus, holy as opposed to mere bestial sexual passion is an expression of zeal and dedication. This perhaps explains why the Zohar here says that in order to couple with Malchut, Yesod dons jealousy or zeal. This then is the mystical meaning of the saying, a man only warns his wife if a spirit of purity enters into him, for this spirit originates from the holy side, that of the supernal Sephirah of Yesod that is identified with Joseph. Thus, the spirit of jealousy is the ideal of pure sexuality. Associated with Joseph and Yesod, the spirit of Joseph is maintained as its numerical correlate. Kina, the jealousy that inspires a husband to warn his flirtatious wife not to seclude herself with her suspected paramour. Interestingly, the essential episode of jealousy in the Torah is that of Pinchas, who was incensed over the sexual sins of Zimri and Cozbi. Here, too, we find a link between jealousy, zeal, and sexuality. A final commentary. Many people have the trait of jealousy. Very few people have the trait of zealousness. In my opinion, the above essay with its commentaries does not do the subject of holy sexuality justice. In my opinion, there is much more to be revealed on this subject, including how to draw righteous souls when you are planning to have a child, or even if you're not planning to have a child, but in zivug with your spouse, the consciousness needs to be an elevated consciousness, as recommended by the Ari and other writings. In my opinion, there is much more to be revealed on this subject. It also represents a good example of why I am a student of Kabbalah and not a student of Hasidut. Suffice it to say, Hasidut studies commentaries on the Zohar without actually studying the Zohar directly. And this essay by the Ari and the commentaries that are brought by the translator makes it very clear, at least to me, of the differences when you do not study the direct source. That is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow is Tuesday. We will have a class at 4:30 for the deep Zohar on the Parasha of Noah. We're in the Section 39, and our 7 o'clock class will be a Tikkuni Zohar class. So I hope you'll join us for one or both of these classes. Shalom to all. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Hano. That was really interesting. That was a good one.
You like this? You like this one?
Yes, I did, especially before Malka's grandchild, I hope she's still on, was born. We looked up the meaning of her name, of his name, the baby, and you know, it was linked with, well, Joseph was one of his names, and so we did the gematria, and there was a hint of sexuality, I think homosexuality, or I don't remember what, but it had to do with sexual impurity. And that was really about the only thing that was, I know what it was. They were going to name him Caleb Joseph, I believe, and call him CJ. And the Caleb part was, you know, the part that there was a hint in the meaning of the name. So I'm sure she recognized that whole section on Psalm 25 and its relation to the word Ben and the Gematria, you know, which I think she'd want to say for grandson. So it had a little bit more meaning, possibly, if we hadn't done that research, which was a couple of months ago. So are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Malka, are you? Okay. I'm sure you saw that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so make a copy of that one and put it in your folder somewhere along the way. It'll mean more, too, as time goes by. Mm-hmm. See, I have a grandson named Joseph, too, who has a lot of problems. And then Tony's name, his middle name is Joseph, and he took that name for his Hebrew name, too. So,
this is the first that I'm hearing about the naming of your grandson, Malka. And I'm not sure how deep you went into the idea of Caleb, but the positive aspect of Caleb is it says like a heart.
Mm-hmm.
The translation is like a heart. It's kaf yud, but the yud is dropped off when you attach it to the word lev, meaning heart. But Caleb, in total, the three letters, has the translation of a dog, and that's where the negativity is arrived at, because the yud drops off.
Yeah.
But the yud can be recovered, and that depends on the child's training.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only negative characteristic we found with the name of Caleb. What I remembered was when I first went to the synagogue in like 1986 and took the basic Judaism class, and this is one of the few things I remembered all these years, was I remember the rabbi saying that Caleb was meant dog, and it was a code name for a homosexual. And, I remembered that. I guess it was for such a time as this, you know. But anyway.
Well, I had not heard that connotation, and I wouldn't be concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, that he was a convert, that he was a Canaanite and became a convert. So that was a long time ago. I remember that, you know, that memory. You know, so, and I kind of have a fit. That was my first link to Judaism, was the meaning of names. And I kind of remember things about names, biblical names, I should say. But anyway, this was interesting. There's a lot there. I think we're going to have to go back over it again.
Right.
There is a lot there.
Yeah.
You'll find that as we do more of the Aries, it is quite significant in what's there, but it takes a lot to reveal it. I mean, it takes a lot of study to comprehend it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a deeper Zohar class today? Because I had company from noon to 8 o'clock, so I couldn't get on.
I figured you would because of the holiday. But no, there was just Malka who arrived, so we did not have the class.
Well, I had three sets of different companies that I wasn't expecting, so, but that was a good thing. So it was.
Welcome to your life.
But I was supposed to talk today. I'm getting pulled, you know. I have to keep telling myself, stay calm. Manna for the day, you know. So I'm concerned I'm not going to have food cooked by the time my Israeli guests come that are staying almost a month. Anyway.
It'll come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself.
It's going to be a beautiful visit.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I know. Yes. Well, they were wonderful to us. Well, he's like a brother to me, but when we got to Modi'in, our refrigerator was full of food, our cabinets were stocked with food, and he would come and get us for Shabbat, and he would come and get us for the holidays, and, you know, and all the years that I took care of his dad so that he didn't have to come back to America, you know,
right.
I don't know, I felt like it was Hashem, what can I say, paying us back or, you know. And so with him coming, I feel like it's probably going to be the last time he'll come. So, but anyway, so I will book tomorrow. Okay. Good night, everybody. And thank you. That was really good. Good night.
And you all have a beautiful day, evening.
You too.
Shalom.
Shalom.